The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the talk station, its management, or ownership.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
This is the Rage.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
What is truth and what they want you to believe
may not be the same thing.
If you're not mad yet, you should be. It's time to get your rage on.
On this most auspicious of nights, permit me then, in lieu of the more commonplace sobriquet, to suggest the character of this dramatis persona.
And now, The Rage, with your host, Catch
22.
Welcome to The Rage, Critical Thinkers, on FM 107 AM 1240, and we're also streaming live on the web at thetalkstation.com. You know, we were talking earlier today, and everything today appears to have a catch, and this show is no different. I am Catch 22, and I'm here with the night crew tonight. We have John Paul is joining us as regular, and so is Jesse Jane. She is here, and Madman Jack on the board and taking your calls. You know, tonight we're going to have a guest. We're going to have more open lines because I'm still very interested in what are all you thinking out there. You know, isn't what's happening making your blood boil? Aren't you getting a little bit concerned about the things that you see closing in all around you? You know, just looking over a couple things that were going on. You know, certainly tonight we're going to talk about the Gifford shooting and some of the ramifications of that. And is this false flag? And, you know, we have the WikiLeaks thing still going on. We've got horrendous weather going on all around the planet. Brazil and Australia, outrageous floods, Europe and Russia having outrageous winters, as we're having some pretty bizarre weather here in the United States as well. You know, the magnetic pole shift is going on. And that's outside of the realm of the normal madness in the pseudo-political arenas, the things that are going on in the financial world, and just the social mess in general. And the call-in number is 800-818-2255. I really want to know what it is that's got you all steamed, or should have you steamed. And if you're not angry, you're certainly uninformed. Jesse, how are you doing tonight? Welcome.
Doing all right, thanks.
You got any outrageous stuff that got under your craw this past week?
Oh, I'm looking at some different articles. I know it's kind of old news where Walmart is partnering up with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. But I'm also looking at some articles that are talking about them being used as FEMA staging centers. So that's what I'm looking at tonight.
This corporate thing that's laying out in Walmart playing their little part in bringing this all together and spying on spying. It's a good opportunity, though, for the old Project Judo and turn it right around on them. They want to know if you see something suspicious or something bad. Well, there's plenty of things going on bad, but instead of diming out your neighbor, how about diming out your local congressman or commissioner or somebody that you find doing something wrong? We're going to get deeper into that subject as well, 800-818-2255. What about you, John? What you got?
Oh, just various, what's going on in Arizona, and again, the rat out your neighbor thing, and I would have to take one exception to what you said earlier about all the strange weather things going around the planet. I don't know, with my research, I find it's really not all that different than it's been. If you just look back not too many years ago, and no matter how far back you go, all the floods in the Midwest, and I mean, we've been having these, you know, natural disasters around the world as long as they've been recording. I think they're just reporting on them much more intensely now than they ever did before.
You know, I do remember that back in the, what was it, the early 90s. There was big floods out in the Midwest because I had somebody living out there.
And what about the Dust Bowl years, you know, back in the 30s and stuff in, during the Great Depression? And, you know, I mean, we've had huge climate fluctuations. I think it's just all been,
you know,
hyped up.
That was an interesting thing, that old Dust Bowl thing that happened just coincidentally along with the Depression that was definitely a drawback to any kind of a recovery, because certainly the food belt was
devastated.
Hard, I mean, just wiped out. Do you think they had weather control? Was Harp running?
I don't really think it could have been.
Where'd the technology come from?
Hey, it could have been. But I'm just saying is that I don't necessarily think that natural disasters are any more common than they used to be. I just think the reporting on them is more than it was. Just like a lot of crime statistics. I think a lot of crime, we've always had a lot of crime. You just expect, I mean, the biblical times, you know. You couldn't go just on a journey somewhere without being robbed and bandits and this and that. And it's just no different today. It's just now you hear about it, and now that we have the possibility of, I mean, you know, if they wanted to cover every murder, they could cover, what, like one murder every minute in the news hour? You could have a 24-hour murder channel. It's just that there's more coverage now.
You know, I happened to catch the morning news the other day on Channel 12, I think it was. And you know what? That's all it was. So break-ins and murders and stuff like that.
It just bleeds.
And if we're that hard up to fill that time with that stuff, would it not be better that we didn't even have that on there? Because it's certainly
they ought to have more good news. But I have to say, though, I have to comment, though, is recently in the last week in New Bern, the crime's gone way up. There was one of my relatives has an insurance company, and they were broken into. I think it was El Toro's Mexican restaurant, another place in the area was broken into in the middle of the night. And then last night, the Red Robin McDonald's on Red Robin Lane. Am I still on?
Yeah.
It was broken into about 4 o'clock in the morning. Not broken into, but armed robbers held up the McDonald's there on Martin Luther King.
Well, I think as times get harder, I think that we're going to see...
Absolutely.
You know, that this happen more and more. And people are going to start coming out of the zones that they live as the area of depression, economic depression spreads. And they're going to start hitting the upper class neighborhoods. You know, they're going to start going in where...
Oh, no doubt about it.
And elderly people really got to watch out. I mean, across the country, that's been going up a little bit. Hitting on the old people that they know are getting that guaranteed money, however minimal that amount of money
and the
is.
And the other thing I've been scouring, you know, the information sources is whenever you have what happened in Arizona, like who was it? I can't remember his name, the official in the White House that said, you know, don't let any good crisis go to waste.
Was that Rob Emanuel?
No, it was the other guy. Maybe it was Rob Emanuel. But anyway, what I'm saying is while they're inundating the coverage of the story of her recovery, because they can, you know, they can cover this endlessly, what else is going on in the news that they're not covering?
Not only the value of getting you to look in the other direction.
Absolutely, the misdirection value.
The misdirection value.
And one of those is the H.R. 6550, the National Emergency Employment Defense Act or need that Dennis Kucinich has introduced to end the Federal Reserve and start using interest-free money created by Congress, not by a private bank.
Well, don't get me started on that money thing again, although we will talk about it some more because we've got some other points that might draw it exactly home so that we can really get angry about this, because this is what we need to get angry about. You're listening to The Rage, the number 800-818-2255. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. Welcome back to The Rage, FM 107, AM 1240. I am Catch 22 and here with the night crew. John is here, Jess is here, and Madman Jack running the board and taking the calls. Let's see. You know, this Gifford shooting thing has really gotten out of hand. And, you know, like I like to take the opposing view on a lot of these items. I have a piece here from Larkin Rose. Before I get into that, let me get a little bit of feedback. 800-818-2255, if you have an opinion on the Gifford shooting, what do you think that we're trying to gain out of this? What kind of mileage are we going to get in all of the ways, in the means of distraction, in the means of gun control, in just all the little games that they play? Not leaving any catastrophe to go to waste.
That was David Axelrod. Maybe it was Rahm Emanuel. One of those two.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Isn't that a very old mantra?
Hasn't that been
around for a very long time? Who originally said that? That was somewhere back World War II or something, wasn't it? Or was it after?
It might have been Roosevelt. Or
I don't know, but it's the same mantra.
But in any case, I noticed that they were quick to point out that he was watching Zeitgeist. I saw that on Good Morning America. And so I guess it's just like the MIAC report, you know, remember back from last year when they're putting out, the federal government was putting out that anybody that watched Freedom to Fascism, or I think that Zeitgeist was on their list too, that they were to be suspected as terrorists.
So Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye, right.
Conspiracy theory or something.
Exactly.
Well, you know.
Whereas if anybody, and they said that it was, what they quickly said was Zeitgeist, he was watching Zeitgeist, and it said a currency-based documentary is all they said about it. I mean, they totally left out the 9/11 was an inside job, false flag operations, Federal Reserve System, you know.
The analysis.
They just wanted to throw it out there. And I know everybody that I've ever shown Zeitgeist to, that I've talked to lately, is saying, hey, you know, that guy was watching Zeitgeist. The same thing with the school shooter there, the guy that went to the school board, I don't know where it was, Louisiana or somewhere, ended up killing himself, and he wrote the big V for Vendetta on the wall before he knocked himself.
Boy, that story dropped like a rock, too, didn't it? Mm-hmm. When all this new stuff comes out. And they keep on supplying us with this new stuff all the time. It's just new stuff, and it keeps seeming to push the gauntlet just a little bit farther. One thing that I thought that was really peculiar about the Gifford shooting was most of the time when there's something like that, they talk to everybody. If the dog or the squirrel that was on the telephone line or doing the fire hydrant could talk, they would interview them. They interview everybody. So here we have this political gathering. You know, the setting for this is a little weird to me, okay? Have I got this right? It's a political gathering out in front of a grocery store. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so the little 9-year-old girl was there. We know that. Her parents were there. Who were the other people there? Why isn't mainstream media interviewing all of these people? Why didn't everybody get their 15 minutes to tell the story? Because I'm really curious as to how this guy got that close, even in casual gatherings. There are people around. There are people for security reasons and just people in general. How did this guy get up, pull out a gun, and was he able to do all of this? Why weren't we interviewing all of the people that were in that parking lot?
They've interviewed some people, and at first I thought they were going to try and use it as a gun control, you know, advocacy thing. But one of the gentlemen they did interview was, in fact, he had a concealed carry permit. He said he never had to get his gun out, but because he wasn't close enough by the time he got to him that they had already knocked him down on the ground. So he was, you know, he never required to take his gun out. He said, but if he had gotten up again, he would have certainly took his gun out and shot him immediately.
He was the second guy there. I mean, the guy wasn't on the ground yet, but he, as the interview that I heard with him, that he didn't deem it necessary to use the gun. The everything was well under control.
And she was a Second Amendment advocate too. I mean, I had some other things about her that were kind of disturbing, but. I know that quickly dropped in there. I think they quickly thought that wouldn't be such a good idea to try and demonize the guns in this case. I know the greater than 7 bullets, what am I thinking? Not the cartridges, what do you call it? The clips. You know, because I guess he had, I don't know if he actually had a clip that held like 35 rounds, but they showed one. So you know how it is. They don't necessarily tell you, yeah, he had this. But they'll just throw it out there. That I have seen some demonizing that.
It was pretty amazing, too, the number of bullets fired for the number of hits made.
And I've got no news source from this, but I had heard somewhere that they had found a sniper rifle on the scene. But, of course, you hear a blip about that, and you don't hear anything else.
Well, you know, it's just an amazing thing, like the senior moment here, and his name slips away, the military guy, and he's shooting the amazing accuracy that he had. He wasn't
Oswald.
That good. No, the military guy just did it at Fort Bragg. He went in his office. It just
Fort Hood, you mean?
Yeah, Fort Hood.
Texas.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of these things.
Well, the first reports on that one, there was two shooters. And they had interviewed people that were there. Soldiers said there was two shooters, and all of a sudden there was no longer two.
Two cell phones.
Yeah,
that were operating
separate caliber guns too, and that all went away. Remember Oklahoma City when that was going on? You know, that was first it was a pickup truck, and then very shortly it turned into a small moving truck, and finally it went all the way up to the biggest rider truck you can possibly rent. So many things
just don't add up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this guy was a Manchurian, you know, assassin, or if he was just basically fed up with society. I'm not sure. From what it sounds like is that he was just tired of listening to the rhetoric and the noncompliance to the Constitution and stuff. I'm not in any way condoning this guy, but I mean, I can maybe understand how he feels.
And we got Donna in the chat room screaming, why isn't the judge being talked about?
Yeah.
He was pro Second Amendment.
Oh, no. And Sheriff Mack did a bunch of shows last week. And this judge made pivotal, critical decisions in the Sheriff Mack trials on the Brady Bill and gun control. So this judge was a significant factor. And see, that's what I'm talking about. How did this take place, that this guy got, I mean, this is an amazing thing. Somebody that's never shot anybody before, doesn't seem to have a lot of gun training, yet was able to pull all of this stuff off. It almost is reminiscent as you go back
Why
to
did he take a
Lee
taxi
Harvey
there?
Oswald, three shots in 6 seconds.
Which I don't understand either, because he drove his car earlier, got pulled over by a wildlife officer for running a stop sign, and then he let him go.
A wildlife officer.
Yeah.
For running a stop sign.
Yeah, but then
they don't even have jurisdiction in that kind
of. But then
of
he says he took a taxi to the site. I mean, how do you rationalize an irrational person? I don't know, but that struck me as odd.
Why
wouldn't just drive the car he was driving there?
They maybe didn't want to pay the parking after.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just amazed he didn't blow his brains out, as usually happens in these circumstances.
I think that he had planned on dying. You know, Alex Jones was on his program the other day, and he was talking about, you know, the extensive drug use, and I saw the interview that they had on with one of his friends, where he said that he had at one time smoked salvia, you know, but when it got out onto, even with Alex Jones, you know, it was, he smoked that stuff every day, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that stuff just became illegal. And it became illegal, I think, because in the context of how it was used in the beginning by ancient shaman, this stuff is pretty powerful. It can take you to places where a lot of people just can't go. They can't go and hang on to their cookies, you know, and come back and be normal.
Well, also, like with that Zeitgeist thing, my son-in-law, when he viewed Zeitgeist, he lost his mind. I mean, he literally lost it. And started seeing things and everything like that. It was horrible.
From watching a documentary?
From watching Zeitgeist. It was like his eyes were opened up and he could not handle it.
Well, that's a little bit less of an extreme of what I'm talking about here.
I know what you mean.
These people, out-of-body experience is a normal thing with this. And a lot of people cannot deal with the ramifications of an out-of-body experience, because it certainly enlightens you to that. There is a possibility that there is something else other than what we can. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, everything that we appear in our real world is 180 degrees out of phase. And we all kind of know that there is something over and above all of this. We're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, I want to enlighten you to a point of view on this issue from Larkin Rose. And it's a piece called The Unpleasant Truth. You're listening to The Rage on FM 107 AM 1240. Call in number 800-818-2255. If you got a rage, you got a rant. We'd like to hear it. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the talk station, its management, or ownership.
This is The Rage.
The Rage.
Reviving News, we did, was in strict opposition to government policy. Your brain will be electronically simplified.
My brain, it's my second favorite organ.
Resistors to mind reprogramming will be exterminated for the good of the state.
What kind of government you guys got here? This is worse than California.
Get your rage on. Call 1-800-818-2255.
Welcome back to The Rage, FM 107, AM 1240. And joining me tonight on the night crew, John Paul is here, Jesse Jane is here, and of course we have Madman Jack running the board and taking the calls. The calling number is 800-818-2255. We want to hear from you. What's got you on the rage? What's got you on the rant? A lot of stuff I'm going on. I wanted to bring up this point. What? Somebody on the phone? Who we got? Donna from New Hampshire. We'll get you in before I do this. Donna, what's on your mind?
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Well, one of the things that I'd like to bring up also, being that you were on this Arizona shooting, is I'd like to know who shaved that kid's head. And one thing that I wondered is, did they do that for shock treatment?
Yeah, because all the pictures I've seen, they show the home pictures. The kid all has a big, he's got like a fro going on, but I didn't see any pictures from home that he had a shaved head. Did he shave his head beforehand? I don't know.
No, well, I saw that. They said that he shaved his head. So what do? They give him clippers and they...
No, I mean shaved his head in jail?
Yeah. When he was arrested, he didn't have a shaved head.
Right, because the very first reports out that morning showed that the description of him was short brown hair, almost like a crew cut or a high and tight, like a military type style haircut, and that was from the two witnesses that actually tackled him down. The one that had the gun, that came out of Walgreens. And the older gentleman that was, I believe, ex-military, that actually rustled him to the ground. And then the woman pulled the clip out that he was going to try to put in his gun to hit off second rounds. And so that was the one question that I have. And if you look at of course, Monday when they had to show the boogeyman picture of him, his face is all, like, greasy. That just indicates to me that looked like he had shock treatment.
Is there a correlation there?
Well, if you look at from his web page, supposedly the books that he liked, one of his favorite books was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Well, that's one of my favorites too.
And remember what they did to good old Jack Nicholson in that.
Oh, sure.
And the other thing that I have a real problem, and I've been trying to dig up information for the past week, was with the little girl and her birth date being 9/11/01. I was wondering if, in fact, before everybody got there, did they have to sign like a questionnaire of some sort to hand to the congresswoman, so the congresswoman, you know how town halls are staged, pretty much. And I was just wondering, randomly, did this happen? Is it a coincidence, which I don't really believe in coincidences, that it just so happened this little girl had that same birthday?
I don't know. There's so many questions about it. I thought that was a little tacky. I didn't think that was true at first. When I first heard that, I thought that they would straighten that out. But it turns out that now it's interesting what her father said, or coming from her parents, not to take this out of context and use it to take away more freedom than what we're already...
Well, that's what the father said?
Yeah.
Right. The father was... The father's, I guess, a traveler because of his business, because he is the Dodgers. He works with the Dodgers, the L.A. Dodgers. And so I think he's a scout or something for them. And the thing about it is, he says, it's bad enough to get on airplanes now as it is. So he said he does not want what happened to his daughter to infringe on anybody's liberties, because this was a madman that decided to do what he did. But the other, one more thing, and I'll let you go, was that Sheriff Dubnyk, I think that man should be fired. He was very unprofessional when he started out this whole thing, and he started blaming talk radio and, basically the right-wing talk radio like Rush Limbaugh and, Hannity and Michael Savage and Mark Levine, and he started, you know, saying that, you know, it was because of the rhetoric that they do and the tea parties and stuff that have caused this type of reaction out of somebody. And basically, a sheriff's job is to investigate a crime scene and to give information enough to the press to, you know, satisfy to the certain extent, because there's still a pending investigation. And by his remarks that day, he pretty much tainted every jury in this country.
Yeah, you're right. Good, very good observations.
It's my
sharp as a tack.
My understanding too that the the shooter was apolitical, and they're trying to make a point of that now, meaning he really wasn't for one side or the other. That my understanding anyway.
And from my understanding, he had a big crush on Gabrielle Giffords. You know, so
really?
Again, we're getting a whole bunch of you know. Well, you've got corporate mainstream media out there, just
throwing everything out.
Yeah,
see
exactly.
Stick, right?
Throwing everything out there, but they also have the fairness doctrine sitting on the back burner, and they also have a bunch of gun control laws that are sitting on the back burner, and they got the Patriot Act coming back up for renewal. So you've got all these things coming, coming up, and so it's great, you know, it's great for these political hacks to get in there and try to put legislation through real quick.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about later is I think, I'm not going to look for the article now because I've got these screens already set up, but I believe I have an article here to where they snuck that Patriot Act through already.
That probably did.
It was one of those late night things, you know, and you know how the cockroaches got to work late. They work in the dark, you know, but they supposedly slid that one really through. That's some great observations there.
That's, you know, just like they did the food safety bill, the S-510. They did that on midnight. So, you know, again, you know, we've got so many things. Again, I say this every week. They've got so many things coming at us that you have to be really vigilant because, you know, there's got to be a team of us paying attention, because if there's not, they're going to pass stuff right by us.
And, you know, that's really the strength of the whole situation is they're coming at us from many, 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 a myriad of different angles with so many different kinds of rhetoric, but there's 350 million of us. You know,
exactly.
There's enough of us to take care and put our concern and support to or take away from every single one of those issues. We can keep these cockroaches under the fire.
I agree with you.
You're welcome to hang on. I wanted to bring in John into the conversation. John from Havelock. What you got to say, my friend?
Hey, Cass. I just turned the radio on and heard you talking about this Arizona incident. I've only got one question, and I don't know if anybody's caught on to it yet. But within 2 days, there were 14,000 shirts designed and pressed and released for, I guess,
yeah, I saw a thing on that, and a t-shirt manufacturer said you couldn't do that unless you knew ahead of time.
That's what I would assume, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
could you explain
know.
That? What exactly? Because I'm
T-shirts made for the event. 14,000 for the event of the speeches and all that stuff. And there's no way that they could have produced them in that short of time.
You mean about the shooting? The T-shirts are about the shooting.
About the memorial, actually.
About the memorial, yeah.
About the memorial.
I mean, this isn't like the Super Bowl where, you know, one team wins. Here you got, you know, a whole team's apparel ready. I mean, this was, you know,
really.
Alex Jones did a program on that. He had a T-shirt manufacturer on there and said that in accordance with when this happened and then the service and the T-shirt showed up, that there's no way that you could have gone through the process of design,
like FEMA
manufacture,
being
distribution, and everything else.
Like FEMA being on hand in New York City on the 10th of September in 2001.
And the Patriot Act ready 2 weeks later.
Right.
You know, yeah.
And your previous caller mentioned, you know, people got to be, you know, vigilant and keep in the know. I would strongly recommend to you and all your listeners, Zeitgeist Moving Forward gets released to the public on the 25th this month, and I would recommend everyone that pay attention to that, because the movement behind it is getting really big really quick, so I would kind of recommend
You mean past the addendum? Now there's another one called,
yeah,
moving forward.
It's called Moving Forward as a community, as a society, to get, you know, pretty much get out of the UCC and do what we got to do as a large community.
Have you seen it?
I have been somewhat of a small part of that production, actually, but I kept it kind of low key. So I would recommend everyone check it out on 25th.
You were involved in the production of it?
Well, I helped. I wouldn't say, well, research and influence, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty special.
Well, John and Havelock, where you been? We need you.
So anyway, check it out.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Okay, why don't we go ahead and we'll take this break, and then we'll come back coming up into the 11 o'clock hour. Then I will get to the Larkin Rose article on the Gifford shooting called The Unpleasant Truth, and more of your calls. 800-818-2255. I am Catch 22 here with the Night Crew on The Rage. Welcome back to The Rage, FM 107 AM 1240, streaming live on the web at thetalkstation.com. The call-in number is 800-818-2255. Anything that's you'd like to rant about, anything, any observations you'd like to make about the year that has just passed, and what do you think we're looking at this year that's coming up? Before I get into this Larkin Rose article, we want to get to Aaron, who's calling in from Florida. Aaron, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, Ketch?
It's going pretty good so far.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and comment on, I know Donna had mentioned, you know, hey, it takes an army of people to, keep up with everything that's going on in the news and to be able to pay attention and all that stuff. And I agree to a certain extent, but in the same sense, I can kind of see, you know, whereas, my own personal research has taken me in the past about year and a half now, is that, you know, I don't like getting bogged down in the details of all this stuff, because just using basic logic, you can debunk everything that's going on in the media, and you don't really need to be able to, you know, read every news article that comes out or spend hours and hours listening to independent media sources to go back and, you know, throw facts at these guys that, you know, they're just going to create, more false arguments to come back at you with. But, one thing that I've noticed is, just say all these articles and all, you know, everything that's being said in the mainstream media right now, you know, you can take the logical of fallacies and basically in the first couple of paragraphs of most of these articles, you can see all the fallacious reasoning, and you can debunk the argument right there. And I think that's one of the problems that we've been facing in our attack against these guys, is that, you know, we can go back at them and, you know, we can take our facts and say, hey, this guy was, you know, a CIA freaking Manchurian candidate, you know, look at all this, you know, but they'll just come back with, different arguments, and they'll spin it, and they'll get people to believe what they want to believe. But when you got people that say, hey, these guys' reasoning is flawed, you know, here's the logical fallacies, here's where they're blatantly lying to us, and there's really no way they can go back and prove themselves that they're not lying. So I hope what I'm saying is making sense, you know, but I just really don't like getting bogged down in the facts, and that, you know, just simply acquainting yourself with the logical fallacies, you can, see the false reasoning that they use.
What's your take on understanding logical fallacy and all of that? Give me your view overall on why are we being subjected to this particular
event? Mean what's the purpose of this whole shooting?
Mm-hmm. in your opinion, what do you think is the mileage that's expected gained out of all this?
Yeah. Oh, well, definitely, you know, they're going to go after, you know, more rights, more gun control laws and things that, you know, and it's really just illusionary to begin with. You know, we don't get our rights from those people. You know, we're as free as we want to believe, as long as we let them, you know, dictate our lives at the barrel of a gun. You know, they're going to keep on doing it.
Now, when they use events like this, though, see, that makes their case for a gun really strong to the average person. I wish that a majority or even a significant number of people in this country was as educated and as well read in the dialectic world of logical fallacy, the trivium, and the existential things that come into play in these things. Here's, and I wish everybody had that outlook, because it would certainly make change in this country and get it back on course a lot easier, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and see, you know, I'm pretty new to, you know, studying logic and all that stuff, and man, it really quick. I mean, you can Google the logical fallacies, and you can pull up interviews over at Gnostic Media where they just took on a whole entire show and talked about nothing but logical fallacies. And then, you know, when you go and read something, you can say, hey, the reasoning is flawed, and then you don't have to get lost in, you know, bogged down in all the details. And, you know, I'm really kind of, you know, the past, since I've been studying this stuff, I've kind of been kicking myself in the butt for, you know, spending all this time researching 9/11 and the Federal Reserve when I could have just been, you know, teaching myself this stuff and not gotten bogged down in the details and just, you know, totally, you know, slashed apart these guys' arguments. And in fact, you know, I don't have much time to myself to, you know, really read every article that comes out, because I'm a full-time engineering student. And electrical engineering school is extremely tough. And you know, one of the recent courses that I had to take was economics for engineers with global implications. And you could imagine, you know, I still got my little booklet with all the globalist propaganda in it, and I didn't go to any details of, you know, well, this conspiracy started with the Federal Reserve at Jekyll Island. You know, because immediately, you know, with a lot of other people, they get shut down by that. They're like, oh, my God, that's conspiracy stuff. I heard all about that. But, you know, I've noticed, you know, in my class, when I just point out all the logical fallacies and the reasoning, they're just like, yeah, this sounds pretty ridiculous, you know, what the system these guys are proposing. And, you know, I'll tell you, even in all the universities, they're openly proposing, you know, that the UN should have control over everything, and I mean they are blatant about it in the universities, that, you know, the IMF and World Bank should be the central pillar for the monetary system. And I mean, even watching some of the students that I'm in school with, they even scratch their heads and go, you know, this is a lot of power to go to a, you know, small group of people that we don't even get to elect
or actually even know who they are. And good points. Good points. Points well taken.
Well, that's about it. I'm going to listen online, and you know, I just want to say, man, I really enjoy the show. You know, I always listen in, or if I don't get the chance to listen, I'll listen to you on the rebroadcast. And I just got finished with Mark Stevens' book that you gave me, and oh my God, it was just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm enjoying the ones that you gave me, too, as well.
Yeah, and I know you said his book was very empowering when you had him on air, and I can definitely say that's barely scratching the surface. That book definitely opened my eyes to
it debunks their whole shtick.
Oh, yeah.
It just debunks the whole shtick. It's very amusing. Very amusing.
And I think that's one thing that needs to be covered is, you know, these guys that are bringing this about, they got this false pretense of fairness, but they back up their false pretense of fairness hidden under the barrel of a gun.
That's it.
So, and one thing I noticed, Mark Stevens, what he likes to do is get them to sacrifice one so you can expose them for the crooks they are.
That's right.
You know, and make them, you know, sacrifice that false pretense of fairness and get them to show them that, you know, these are just violent thugs, you know, that this whole jurisdiction thing is just, it's an illusionary argument that, you know, we inherently, as fourth graders, we know that it's wrong, you know, in the logic that a child has, we can see that, yeah, these people are crooks, but, you know, through all the brainwashing that we're subjected to over the years, you know, we begin to lose that sight. And that's one of the things I really appreciated about his book was that, you know, he kind of rekindles that spark that, like, yeah, this is wrong. You know, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks for calling in very much, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Before we go to the top of the hour break, I want to get with Edwin, who has just called in. Edwin, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm looking, as we look towards the Martin Luther King holiday on Monday, I think this country is more polarized than ever over everything as far as how we look at each other, this immigration debate, how we use words in this country, and we don't really think what we say. I'm looking forward to a country where we look at everybody as neutral than people using hyphenated words and calling themselves a certain nationality when they really don't define what they are. When a person says they're African-American, you know, African-American is a person that was born in Africa that came to this country.
You know, I agree with you. I think that when, and you know, I think it was in the old days, when you wanted to be an American, you made that commitment that you were an American. They lived in neighborhoods, they preserved their cultural heritage, but it wasn't an issue, so to speak. And I think the political correctness thing has really gotten out of hand. Edwin, I'd like to ask you to hang on so we can catch you after the news break. You're listening to The Rage, FM 107, AM 1240. We're going to continue with Edwin and the Night Crew after this break.